This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2. This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
The latest Islamic State attack to make world headlines is the brutal murder of a Catholic priest as he led a church service in Normandy, France. Open Doors, one of the major Christian organisations that supports persecuted Christians, said that the horrific murder is very similar to attacks that have been happening in the Middle East. We've now got Mike Gore, who's the CEO of Open Doors Australia, on the line. Mike, thank you very much for joining me.
Claire, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Now, firstly, have you had a chance to speak on the phone to any of your international connections about this particular incident yet?
No, look, we have an internal system that we send prayer requests through. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, our French team, as you can imagine, with several instances of sort of horrific attacks over the last couple of weeks, you know, there's been a real need for prayer for that team for quite a while now.
It's well known that Open Doors does a lot of work in very persecuted nations across Asia, Africa, the Middle East, where it's very dangerous to be a Christian. You're actually doing work in Western nations as well.
Yeah, that's right. Look, we would have what we call a field side to our ministry, which is those 60, kind of a bit over 60 countries you talked about, closed and really difficult to be Christian. And then we have what we call the development side. Now, that's awareness, what I call persecution preparedness, and often found in the West, so places like Australia, like America, the UK and France. And the base in France is a development base. It is primarily based around awareness, telling the story of the persecuted church within churches and raising funding and support.
So it's quite an interesting, I guess, turn of events that Open Doors will become a point of support for persecuted Christians, even in a place like France.
Yeah, look, each year as a ministry, we release what's called the World Watch List. It's the ranking of the top 50 countries where the most difficult to be a Christian. And now one of the kind of astounding things with that, if you were to dip down to, let's say, the top 100, you would find countries like France start to appear. And so we're really seeing a changing dynamic of persecution across the world.
How do you expect Christian believers in France might react and be feeling after the attacks that have been happening on Bastille Day and in November last year in Paris, and now this?
Look, I think they would be feeling very similar to us here in Australia, to tell you the truth. It's a lot of fear, it's a lot of stress and anxiety around the unknown and what impact this will have on our way of life. And it really is a emotion that we're seeing expressed right across the world at the moment, this idea of fear. And ultimately, that's what these actions are aimed at, making us fearful.
Does it come as a shock, this particular attack, to you? Very cold-blooded. And it's been reported that the two attackers forced this priest, who's been described as a really humble, popular, beautiful man of 85 years of age, I think, Father Jacques, they forced him to kneel before they filmed his execution. And these are the kind of actions that we've read about happening frequently in Syria, Iraq, very unexpected in Europe.
Look, it's one of the, I guess, things that, for me, I wouldn't say it's horrifying and it's an absolutely horrific attack, but it's something that we're seeing more and more across the world. And we've been working as a ministry for more than 60 years now, and we've seen this style of persecution. And what we're seeing now is a real shift of focus, and we're seeing more and more instances of it in the West. And that is quite scary for us, but it's something as a ministry we've seen right across the world for many years.
For people who are believers who might be feeling that anger and that fear, what would be your advice as a ministry?
Look, as a ministry, it's a question we get asked a lot. And for me, I guess the answer that I give the most is that we need to respond in love. And now love, for so many people, they go, well, that's just a cliche term, Mike, you know, what does that really mean? And for me, it really drives me to the passage in 1 Corinthians 13, which, you know, so often we hear read at weddings and things like that. But when you read it through the lens of persecution or anything other than to do with marriage, it takes on a whole new, profound kind of meaning. And, you know, it says things like, love is patient and kind, it's not jealous or boastful, proud, rude. And then it says things like, it's not irritable and keeps no record of being wronged. It doesn't rejoice in injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. It never gives up, never loses faith, and is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. And I think for us as believers, it's a mandate that comes with a cost. Following Jesus comes with a cost. And I think for us, in the face of this, We need to go to the Word, and we need to see what we're called to do as believers, and that is to, in as so much as we can, pray for those who persecute the church.
What would you say that love looks like for a believer whose perhaps family member has been attacked or whose community has been attacked, knowing that the people who have committed that attack are wanting to create terror and are murderers? What does love look like towards those kind of people?
You know, it's a really countercultural question in that all the people I've met all over the world, in places like Iraq, people who have been absolutely wronged, you know, we don't condone and they don't condone the actions of these people. But this element and this theme of forgiveness is something that seems to undergird all these conversations. And I wrestle with it because I'm like, no, that's not fair. And these people, they'll look back at me and say, it's not about being fair. You know, it's about the gospel of Jesus. And they often tell me faith comes at a cost and that they will try and shine as bright as they can and be the salt and the light to the earth. And you know, that really, in my westernized, safe mentality, it pushes me, even in my role as CEO, hearing people who have been absolutely displaced and hurt and abused in many ways by others, choosing to love and forgive and try and work through that. It's just incredible.
So you hear stories, I guess, all the time then of Christians coming out of these countries that are really suffering under the attack of Islamic State right now who actually choose to walk a path of forgiveness?
Yeah, I do. And you know, we hear stories that go the other way sometimes too, but the majority of stories that I hear are based around forgiveness and love. Mm. And, you know, they absolutely and always tell me the West needs to know there are extremist Muslims and there are nominal Muslims. The actions that you're seeing are not indicative of everyone. Mm. You know, we have a habit in the West, they say, of saying this is what all Muslims are like. And they say, well, we live with them. We know them. And they're more than ever before questioning Islam and asking about Jesus. I think that's one of the fundamentals. We need to really understand that the actions of Islamic State are the actions of a minority. And as a society, we can often say, this is what a Muslim is, and it's just not true. Some of the most hospitable and loving people I've met all over the world have been Muslim people. And our job as believers is to love them like Jesus, and where possible, talk to them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one true God.
That's really timely insight, Mike, given what's been, I guess, on the political landscape in Australia in the last couple of weeks. How would you encourage Christians in Australia to respond to this story of this attack in France?
Look, it's a great question. I think you can respond in fear or love. And to tell you the truth, fear is a lot easier and it feels better too. But the thing with love is that it's terrifying because it requires an action. And I think the church, number one, we need to go to prayer. And so the way I often encourage people to pray is, number one, pray for the persecutors. Because by the time you have your mouth around a prayer for someone like Islamic State or these two men that committed this crime in France, your heart's in the right place to pray for the victims and the families of the victims. And then thirdly, I encourage people to pray that we in this moment as a nation would understand what it means to truly love our neighbour. And I think that's an absolutely crucial mandate. We need to assume best intentions of the people in our society and more often than not in the world, because as Christians we are called to love our neighbour and to shine the light of Jesus Christ, be the salt and light in the world today.
And what difference does it make when I pray a prayer to God to make a difference in the life of a terrorist?
Yeah, I think God probably knows the answer to that more than I do, but my belief is, and the reason why I do it, is because I know for me that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, right? And when you follow him, your life changes. And I believe that as I pray for the people who commit these crimes, you know, in the Bible we read about this guy called Saul, and we often say, you know, well, he was converted and he became Paul and all this sort of stuff, but you know what, there was that conversion. He was a terrible man. And I believe that Jesus Christ died for Islamic State and he died for me. And, you know, we're all created in the image of Christ, and so my job as a believer is to pray and believe that Christ would reveal himself to them, would change their lives, take them out of those horrific lifestyle and actions that they commit, and bring them into relationship with him.
And just one last thing, Mike. A lot of people who listen, who will be hearing this interview, aren't necessarily people of faith. And so I guess I'd just say, what would you say to encourage them about what difference does prayer actually make?
Look, I think prayer is one of the most powerful things we can ever do. And I think for non-believers out there, you know, prayer is a way that I often encourage people from other faiths to explore Jesus, you know, and say, look, God, if you're real, then tonight come and speak to me. It can be that simple, because I think that we so often say, you know, I'm not going to touch that thing called faith. Well, you know what? Ask the question. Maybe just say, Jesus, if you're real tonight, you know, as I sleep, come and speak to me. Come and talk to me. And just see where that takes you and what journey that takes you on. Because, again, there's people all over the world. The need is great. Persecution is increasing. As a ministry, we need more help. But, you know, the people that I meet with, they have a passionate love and a real relationship with this guy called Jesus. And it drives their actions in some of the most confronting places on the planet.
Mike Gore, thank you very much for your time.
Not a problem.